Then turn to Romans chapter 1. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our foundation scriptures again. Amen. You guys ready? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many people have been benefiting from this message of faith we've been teaching for almost 2 months now? You've been benefiting from it? I saw one hand. Amen. Anybody else benefiting from it? Matter of fact, it's been probably 2 or 3 months, haven't it? It's been a while. Amen. You're like, Pastor, why are we teaching on faith so much? Because the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Amen. We just want to brand this thing in your spirit. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. You guys are there? Okay, let's see if you're there. On the count of three, let's read that scripture together. 1, 2, 3. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by who faith?
His faith.
His faith. I want you to back up to the A part of that verse. It says, behold, his soul who is lifted up in him is not upright. This is talking about pride. Somebody say pride. The word pride means to be self-dependent, independent of God. Somebody say self-dependent, independent of God. Matter of fact, pride is so dangerous that the Bible says in the book of James that God resists the proud. He will stand against and or oppose the proud. That means, have you ever in your life felt like you were striving to do something and it just seemed like there was somebody holding you back? Sometimes we think it's the devil, but sometimes it's the Lord. Amen. Why? Because God don't want us to skip steps. God want us to grow in every area and in every degree. Amen. So what he does is sometimes he'll allow us to stay in a certain area until we can learn the lesson. G-Rock got a song called I Think I Learned My Lesson. Amen. You feel like you learned your lesson tonight? The Bible said the just shall live by his faith. Somebody say his faith. That means you got to have your own personal faith. Remember again, you got to have your own personal faith. Well, how do I get my own personal faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Just write it down. You ain't got to turn there. Just write it down because we're going to go a few places tonight. The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? The word of God. So now let's break it down. In every area that you need faith, you have to build your faith in that area. That's why there was different times that Jesus approached people and he said things like this. He said, O ye of little faith. But then somebody else said, just speak the word only. And he said, I have not seen such great faith. Amen. Then the Bible says in the book of Romans that God dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the word measure there means degree of faith. Amen. Which literally means that faith is something that could be measured up or down. That means that you can start off with this much faith and you can grow your faith. If you couldn't grow your faith, Jesus would have never said, O ye of little faith, or you that have great faith. Amen. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, we find one of the apostles, after he was chosen, the Bible said he was full of faith. Somebody say full of faith. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to show it to you. Go over there to the book of Acts chapter 6, and I'll come back. Go back, go to the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I get started, and I got to slow down because y'all be like, where is he going? What is he talking about? Because we want you to grow. Amen. Look at verse 1. It says, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration or the service. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men who are what? Honest report. Come on. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose who? Stephen, and And Stephen was a man who was what? Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say he was full of faith. That means you could be empty of faith. Or that means you can have little faith. Or that means you can have great faith. Or that means you can have doubting in your heart or unbelief in your heart that can cripple your faith. Are you catching what I'm saying? Now, how is faith important? Or why is it so important? Amen. Let's look over here again at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to go a few places. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to try to pitch something out there today because I've been actually taking my spiritual shovel over the last couple months and been trying to dig this in you. Because not everybody who say that they live by faith actually live by faith. The word faith has become a church cliche. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to catch what I'm saying. It's become a church cliche. But people don't understand that literally the source of your life and your livelihood, every single thing that you do is by faith as a believer. Amen. We're going to show it to you tonight. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from as it is written, the. Now, we told you that the word live means to live and to cause to live. To live and to cause to live. Amen. This life perpetuates. So the more faith you get, you live and you cause others to live. But if you're depleted in faith, your words are going to cause others to die and to decrease. Come on, somebody say amen. Because if you're not being filled with faith, if you're not like Stephen, you're not full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, when you open up your mouth, you're going to cause unbelief to happen. Not just in your life, but everywhere around you. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Now, let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. You guys already know it, but let's go there anyhow. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And after that, we're going to jump over to Romans chapter 5, because I'm going to bless you tonight. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we're going to bless you tonight. Let me tell you the very powerful thing about living by faith. Here it is right here. No matter what you go through, you can always trust God. Now, we've been teaching on Sundays about believing, which is synonymous to trust. Somebody say believing. You ought to know by now that you can't say that you believe God if you're not speaking God's word. You can't say that you believe God if you're not speaking God's word. Come on. You can't say that you believe God if you're not speaking God's word. Now, when do you speak God's word? Do you speak it when situations are good? Do you speak it when situations are bad? Do you speak it when situations are ugly? Amen. Because there's one thing that will not change. Your circumstance could change. Your situation could change. Amen. Ugliness can change. You can go get a makeover. Amen. You catch what I'm saying? Your weight can change. That can go up and down. That doesn't matter. All that stuff is changed. You can change the rims on your car. But the one thing that does not change is God's word. Whenever God's word is in the equation, whatever that is in balance with his word has to come in agreement with his word. If his word is put out there. Amen. Like Pastor Healy said, I got to bring it out. This one, I got to say it. And I'll give him credit one more time, then I'll say I said it. Amen. But he said your faith has to be on the attack. Your faith has to be on the attack. That means that if the problem is attacking you, you attack the problem with your faith. I'm going to say that again. If the problem is attacking you, you attack the problem with your faith. I'm going to say it again. If the problem is attacking you, you turn around and attack the problem with your faith. My God, I'm telling you, it works. Tell you, never say it works. I'm telling you, your faith has to be on the attack. And you can tell what kind of faith you got and how much faith you got according to the level of the problem that you're going through. See, the Bible says you'll never be tempted above that which you're able to bear. That means God knows what you're able to bear. So if you got gym sock faith, then that's where you are. Come on. If you got Fruit of the Loom faith, then that's where you are. I mean, don't get mad at it. Put your faith on some Fruit of the Looms. If you got holes in your drawers, you need to put faith on. Amen. I'm just being funny. Can I do that, John? Is that all right? Is that all right? Amen. It's plain, ain't it? It's simple, ain't it? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. You ready? Count of three. One, two, three. For we walk by and not by sight. Ooh, this is so powerful right here. I told you the word walk there is the Greek word peripatio. You know where we get our patio from? The platform that we walk on? Peripatio, it means to constantly walk and trample underfoot until it becomes a livelihood or a habitual lifestyle. That means you have to live by faith all the time. Not just on Wednesday, not just on Sunday, not just when the prophet of God come to town. Come on, somebody say amen. Not just when Benny Hinn come and throw his white coat on somebody. You got to live by faith in the dark areas of your life, in the weak areas of your life. You got to trust God. Come on, somebody, say I got to trust God. You got to walk this thing out. Somebody say, walk it out. You got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. You got to walk it out. Why do you got to walk it out? Because as your faith grows, God will begin to entrust more to you. Come on, somebody say amen to this. This is powerful. God will begin to entrust more to you as your faith grows. As you are able to capacitate different levels, God will give you that. Amen. We're finding that out as a church. Amen. We're finding that out. It's hot in here, ain't it? But I got faith for the heat. Amen. It's all right. Turn to Romans. Let's go get the blessing right quick. Turn to Romans. This one is powerful right here. I love this one right here. Romans chapter 5. Turn there. This is powerful. Romans chapter 5. Tell your neighbor, I'll show you where Romans is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me come over here to my amen corner. I'm just joking. I came over because Joe is over here, man. I'm telling you, man. Ain't he handsome, young man? Look at him. Give Joe a hand clap. No, for real. I want to help you out because guess what? So many believers are having a hard time of living this Christian life. Come on, somebody say amen. They're getting beat up by the world system, beat up by everything, and they don't know how to get out of it. It's just like, oh, my God, how did I get in this mess? Amen. It's the devil. He's trying to surround you in every area of your life, and the only avenue that you need to get out of there is faith. That's the only avenue that you have to get out of there because you are a believer, and believers live by faith. But because you are a believer and you are on the opposite team of the enemy, he's going to come at you. And he's going to come at you because he want to make you think that your battle is in the natural. And that your battle is with flesh and blood. But the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You don't fight. Just because you are in the flesh, you do not war after the flesh. You're bigger than that. Are you catching what I'm saying? You're way bigger than that. You got the ability to go into the secret place of the Most High God and tap into a whole nother realm and a whole nother level and pull out some arsenal that the devil can't even fight back with. You got to catch. I'm trying to teach and not preach, but I'm trying to show you something tonight. You got power over all the power of the enemy, but guess what? It is accessed by faith. Here we go. Let's just see it right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read it. Therefore, being justified by faith. Stop right there. Circle that word justified. We're going to go to Bible school tonight. That word justified means to be declared righteous. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I am declared righteous. Now, see, this is powerful because we can just milk this bone right here just for a minute. Because there are believers that still don't understand that they have been declared righteous. Righteousness don't have anything to do about you and what you do. Righteousness has everything to do about what Jesus did. You're not righteous based upon your works. You're righteous based upon his work, the finished work. You are righteous. Now, say that three times. Say, I am righteous. I am righteous. Come on, I am righteous. Four more times. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. I am righteous. See, but you say, well, Pastor Claude, I ain't righteous. Look what I did last night. Yeah, not what you did has nothing to do with your righteousness. Who you cussed out don't got nothing to do with your righteousness. Let me back on up and preach over here to my podium over here. Can I give you revelation? 99, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, he said, son, I don't ever want you to teach on sin no more. I said, Lord, why don't you want me to teach on sin? He said, because sin will not fix sin. He said, righteousness is the antidote for sin. He said, so if you want to see people change, teach them who they are. Don't talk to them about what they do. So I began to teach that, and I began to find out what righteousness was. Because I began to do a study on the word righteousness, and I found out what it was. And I'm not going to go into detail with it, because it might knock somebody up the side of the head if I tell them what it means. Well, maybe I'll just knock somebody upside the head. Amen. The word righteous is the Greek word that is translated in the English language as equitable. Equitable is defined as equal. Equal. Somebody say equal. St. John chapter 5, verse 18. Am I going too fast? The Bible said the Jews sought to kill Jesus not only because he broke their traditions, but he called God his father. He called God his father, making himself equal with God. Philippians chapter 2 says this right here, that God, or Jesus, thought it not robbery to consider himself equal with God. Well, when you and I got in Christ, we became the righteousness of God. So all God sees us as equal to him. Well, what does equal mean? Equal don't mean that you are God. Equal means that you were created in the God class. Equal means, let me explain it to you. Your sin can't do nothing about your position in God. Just like, watch this, just like my daughters right now can go outside and they can just rob every store down the street here. And guess what? They messed up their fellowship, but they did not violate their relationship. Because they're my daughters no matter what they do. That's for you, Jason. I love you back there, man. Did you catch that right there? That's why we can be beat up, broken down, battered, and Jesus say, I love you. You could have missed it 200,000 times, and Jesus say, I love you. You got to catch what I'm saying. Why do we have a problem with this when he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the worst condition ever, he said, I forgive you. Oh, my God. And see what the devil want to do. Can I just preach this thing tonight? That's why Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. See, you've been declared righteous because, my God, Jesus. Amen. That's a good preacher right there. I tell you, I like that big yellow guy. He's a good guy. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith. Somebody said, I'm justified. Some people say it means just as if I never did it. My God. They caught it, didn't they, Minister Perry? Just as if I never did it. See, the devil's only power and only tool that he have is you is that condemnation. Is that judgment? Because condemnation will cripple your faith. You got to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to learn how to shake it off. You know what I mean? That's what the Bible said, confess your faults. And move right along. The Bible said he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, your slips, your faults, your mistakes. See, we got to grow the church up. Because guess what? The devil got the church standing back in Pityville. You ever been to Pityville? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I did it. Well, he knew what you was going to do before you did it. He knew you was a goof up. Amen. Here we go. I've been declared righteous by faith. Somebody said, I'm declared righteous. You want to learn some more or y'all want to go home? No. Want some more? Watch this. We have peace with God. Somebody say peace. This is powerful right here. Now circle that word peace. Amen. That word peace don't mean peace. Romans 5 and 1. Somebody say peace. That's the Greek word Irene. Okay? Irene. That word Irene literally means to be set at one again. But you do need to know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, amen, speaking of peace, amen, is representing Jesus. And I taught this before. Jesus did not speak Greek. So when Jesus used the word peace, he would be using the word shalom. Somebody say shalom. Shalom. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. The Bible said you have peace with God. You know, when I make my confessions every day and I pray, one of the confessions I make is this one right here, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I said, Father, I've been declared righteous by faith, therefore I have peace with you. This is what I add to it. I am no longer separated, nor am I alienated from your life. I am one with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20 tell me that I am the temple of God. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Verse 17. So now I'm not separated from you. See, this is why we got to teach on faith, because you got to know your position. God ain't out here and you're down here, some little pea, wad, messed up human being. That's, you know, I'm only human, born to. That's not right. That's not right. That's a song. That's somebody who wasn't in covenant with God, and they sang the song and it had a good melody. And I am only human, born to. Tell them that it's human nature. Sound like a radio changing station, don't it? Michael Jackson said that, but that don't make it right, because he said it. You're not just a human, mere man. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not based upon what you do, but based upon what he did. Come on, somebody say, he did it.
He did it.
If somebody come up to you and say, yeah, yeah, you did it. You say, no, I didn't do it. He did it. He did it. And see, guess what that does? That's good news. That keeps us going, John. That keeps us going, RJ. We keep going. Because guess what? You know how you feel when somebody in your family make you feel like you're the worst person on planet Earth. I know how I feel, amen. But you know what? I didn't change until God spoke to me in 99 and told me to start delivering the word like this. Then I began to see myself in Christ. The Bible says in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 that our faith becomes effectual when we begin to communicate every good thing that is in us that is in Christ Jesus. That's when our faith starts to work. That means that condemnation can cripple my faith. Condemnation can cripple my faith. Are you catching what I'm saying? My God. Take your name and say, I have peace with God. I'm one with God. See, you got to train your brain to think like that. You hear what I'm saying? I'm one with God. See, it's powerful. You know what I mean? Brother Shep is going to be a part of our Ministry of Defense team. Be good to have Brother John on that team too. You know, but me and RJ was cracking jokes, you know, and RJ said, Shep said he ready to put somebody in the headlock. Now, y'all don't think that's important, but, you know, back in, I think it was 99, same year, we were at a Word of Faith conference. Might have been a year or two before that. But Papa Hagen was in Detroit at the old Word of Faith church that they shared with Detroit World Outreach. And Papa Hagen was up there teaching a message. And a man jumped up in the middle of the message. I don't know if you were there, Julie, but he jumped up and he was like, false prophet. Before he could finish getting the prop out of his mouth, they grabbed him, took him out to service. Papa Hagen never even missed a beat, because they were protecting the gift and they were protecting the anointing. Now, why am I talking about this? See, if I got Shep on my team and I got John on my team, I ain't got nothing to worry about. That's just human standards. But guess what? I'm one with God. You got to catch what I just said. See, that's why I don't got to even fight my own battles. Amen. I used to always try to fight all my battles. Even now, sometimes I still get a little bit deterred when crap going on. But you know what? Listen to what I'm trying to say here. I don't jump out and do what I did 2 years ago, because I realize that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Well, if I can do that with John and Shep, and I can feel like, okay, yeah, I'm straight. Well, how are you supposed to feel when you realize that God is with you and that you're one with God? You catch what I said, Tasha? You're one with God. It don't matter. It don't matter who can be against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? I like this one. Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It's Jesus Christ that died and justified. What is he trying to say? He's trying to tell you, it don't matter who judging you. Can't nobody put a label on you and judge you for anything. You know why? Because Jesus died for you. Now listen, let's back it on up. I'm not telling you to go out there and just sipping on some scissor. I'm not telling you to go out there and do all that. I'm not telling you to go out there and mess up. If you do that, that's between you and God. That's where you are. But what I am telling you is this right here. Can't nobody judge you. Amen. Is that good, y'all? Look at verse 2. We're getting where we're going tonight. Somebody say, I live by faith. This is good. This is why we live by faith. Look at verse 2. By whom? Somebody say, whom? Speaking about Jesus. By whom also we have what? Access. By what? Now, what is access? Access. See, when I get on my computer, I have to put in a password in order for me to get access into the computer. If you don't know the password, you can't have what? Well, faith is the password. You got to catch what I just said here. See, your problem is what you need your faith for. Hear what I'm saying here? But if you don't know that faith is the passcode or the password, you'll always be facing your problem. But once you understand faith and how to live by faith and how to walk by faith and how to talk by faith, amen, guess what? It just changes your life. It really, literally, you know the scripture where it says, cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you? Just say that three times. I'm going to cast my care on the Lord. Come on, because he cares for me. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm going to cast my care on the Lord because he cares for me. Come on, one more time. I'm going to cast my care on the Lord because he cares for me. See, now that's some powerful stuff right there. Do you really believe he cares for you? Then cast your care on him. Quit carrying your care. You walking around with your care on your back like that old Christian movie where the guy had that big old burden on his back. You just walking around with all kind of care. And you don't even care that you got the care. You catching what I'm saying? Amen. He said, cast it on him. Roll it over on him. This don't belong to you. It belongs to who? It belongs to Jesus. Now look at this right here. We going somewhere. It says, I have access by faith. This is powerful. So he said, faith is a password. Well, what do I need access to? I'm about to bless you. You ready? What do I need access to? It says, into this what? Now stop right there. Stop right there. Stop right there. I'm about to give you revelation here tonight. Spirit of God spoke it to me. I'm going to give you revelation. You ready? You want revelation? See, generically, the body of Christ has just misused grace. Grace cannot be accessed without faith. So if you don't have faith, you don't access grace. You hear what I'm saying? It's simple, but you got to catch it right here. Well, what is grace? Write it down. Grace is the power of God. I'm going to say it again. Grace is the power of God. See, some of the things that we're going through, we are unable to change. Or we are incapable of manipulating. Come on, somebody say amen. You hear what I'm trying to say here? Some of the things that we're going through are out of our control. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You need something more than your own ability to change what you're going through. Well, that's what grace is. Grace is not your ability. Grace is God's ability. Now, you're one with God. You realize that you're one because you have been declared righteous. Now you're in the God class. Now I'm walking together with God. I'm a son of God. I have inheritance. I am an heir. I'm a sharer in common. You catching what I'm saying here? But now that I'm one with God, that don't mean anything unless I understand faith. Because guess what? That what Jesus done on the cross opened the door for me to walk with him. But now, guess what? Now I got to understand, how does he do things? How does he get things accomplished? He gets them done by faith. He gets them done by faith. He calls things that be not as though they were. So now I'm being trained and tutored. Watch this. This is important tonight. I'm being trained and tutored by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to teach me. The Holy Spirit is going to lead me. The Holy Spirit is going to guide me. The Holy Spirit is going to direct me into truth. You got to catch. He's going to show me things to come. He's going to teach me what it is to be a believer. And how to live by faith. So now as I'm walking with him, and I'm communing with him, and I'm talking with him, what is he doing? He's building up my faith. I'm meditating the word, and the Spirit of God is talking to me. I'm telling you, I'm talking about experience. I meditate the word, and the Spirit of God says, son, this is what this means right here. Go flip over there to the concordance over there, or go to flip over the scripture over here. You'll never understand how enjoyable a relationship with the Almighty God is unless you give him your whole heart. When you give him your whole heart, guess what? He'll start revealing himself to you. He'll start talking to you. And guess what? That's what faith is, because guess what? No matter what's going on, you can look to him and say, you know what, Lord God? You brought me through before. You're going to bring me through again. There's trust established there, and there's trust built there. And you can't trust a person that you don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said, we're declared righteous by faith, and we have peace with God. We've been made one with God. Now, by this faith, we have access into the grace. Somebody say grace. It's the power of God. The Apostle Paul said this right here. He said, I am everything that I am by the grace of God. Don't make grace just be this cheap umbrella that covers you when you mess up. Grace is God's ability. Come on. Grace is God's power. Grace is God's help. You want to see it? Here we go. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. You want to see it? Take him and say, help. Praise God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Take him and say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Amen. I don't know what you're going through right now. I know what I'm going through. Let me just settle this in your spirit right now. Three things right now. You can write these down. You can put them in your mental Rolodex or whatever. Everybody is either going through something, coming out of something, or about to go through something. Everybody. Nobody is exempt from this process. Everybody. Because when I'm going through something and I'm developing, I'm building my faith, and I come out of that something, amen, I got power to speak back to somebody else that's going through something. Are you catching what I'm saying? So I said that to get this in your spirit. Don't let the devil make you think you're the only person in the whole world that's going through something. Because that's what he does. Nobody understands me. Trust me. He can only tempt you with what is common to man. The devil cannot create. You guys know that, right? Can we talk about him? He can't create. He has no power. He has no power. Only power he has is that which we give him. He has no power. Now he'll whoop your butt through you whooping your butt if you walk in the flesh. I'm going to say it again. He'll whoop your butt through you whooping your butt if you walk in the flesh. But if you walk in the spirit, he can't touch you. He cannot touch you. I'm gonna prove it to you. Before I go to Hebrews, hold your finger there because we're going to keep on that grace right there. I want you to go on over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. See, can I confirm the word tonight, somebody? Can I confirm the word? Is that all right? 1 John chapter 5. You ready? Let's look at verse 4. I want you to read it with me because I want you to etch this in your spirit. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. For whatsoever is born of God. Stop. Are you born of God? Are you born of God? Okay, I mean, there's no doubt. You born of God, Rebecca? Amen. You born of God, sis? Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm born of God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, circle that word overcometh. This is not overcome like we think. I'm going to get through this one day. That's not what it means. I'm going to go up the rough side of the mountain. I'm going to get to the top, take a break, and come back down. I'm going to overcome. That's not what this word means. If you study this word in the original language, it means to subdue and bring into divine order. So this scripture says, whatsoever is born of God has the ability to bring everything that's out of order in order. You overcome the world. Well, what is the world? The word world is two words. There's aeonos, which means a time frame. And then there's the course, which means the system of the world. Somebody say system of the world. We're talking about the system of the world. You overcome the system of the world. Say, I'm a world overcomer. Say that. Say, I am a world overcomer. Say it two more times. I am a world overcomer. One more time. I am a world overcomer. Now, the world, in the world, Jesus says this right here. You will have persecution. He said, but fear not because I overcame it. So he's letting you know between that scripture in John and this scripture in 1 John that you got the same stuff that he got to overcome it. That means there is not one thing that you're going through right now that you can't get up under your feet. I'm going to say it again. That means there's not one thing that you or I are going through that you can't put up under your feet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm just going to prophesy. We're going to the days now. I'm telling you. We're going to the days. And man, I wish I had a shovel or something. I'll show you just how the Lord gave it to me. Well, I'm going to use this purple line again. This purple line is good for making analogies. This is what the Lord showed me. He said, in these days that we are in now, and I'm going to say this to you as a pastor, and I'm going to say it to you out of love. He said that there is the carnal person, and then there is the spiritual person. He said, the days that we are in right now, that if you are carnal, everybody around you is going to know that you're carnal. because you can only be who you are. But if you're spiritual, everybody around you going to know that you're spiritual, because whatever you are submitted to the most is going to pull you. This is what he said to me. That's why it's important for us to be taught the word of God. That's why it's important for us to be taught how to live by faith. Believers live by faith. Now let's hit this grace thing. Come on. Hit the grace thing. Was that all right, y'all? Y'all catch that right there? That means that, guess what? Let me just say this right here. That means that putting the kingdom first has to be a high priority. High. Somebody say high priority in your life. Has to be. And we're not trying to put nobody down. We're just trying to show you. You're not going to be able to survive. Amen. It's like this. You know, and I'm, next week I'm going to talk about little faith, great faith, faith like a seed. I'm going to talk about these different types and levels and measures and degrees of faith. I'm going to talk about that. But here's what I want you to see right here. You have to grow in faith. And you have to grow in grace. You ought not stay where you are right now. A year from now, somebody should see that you have matured. Come on, somebody say amen. We should see that you are different than what you were last year. Your faith should be stronger. The grace that is upon your life should be more effective. You should be putting your hand to something. You shouldn't be putting it and then backing out. Putting it and then backing out. The Bible said, if you put your hand to the plow, you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom. He didn't say fit for the gospel. He said fit for the kingdom. Glory to God. Are you catching what I'm saying? The kingdom of God requires you to be a saint, a warrior, somebody that understands the systems of God's word. God's word has systems in it. The kingdom has systems in it, and the kingdom requires that you know those systems. Let me help you out right quick. We're going to Hebrews. Let me help you out right quick. You ready? Faith is a part of that. See, when I was in the world, I lived according to the system of the world. But now that I'm a believer, I'm learning to live according to a whole nother system. And see, as a Christian, it's our job as pastors to teach you how the system works. Because you can't be over here as a believer praying and trying to get the kingdom to work when you're still over here. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, let's look at grace. We just trying to help you. What's my time like? Somebody tell me what my time is like. Hebrews chapter 4. Is this all right, Brother John? Is this all right, man? Hebrews chapter 4, Sister Becky. Look at this right here. Look at verse 12. The word of God is what? It's quick. You know what that word quick means? It's alive. Come on. Teach that thing, RJ. It's alive. Somebody say the word is alive. The word is alive. Come on, say it again. Come on. The word is alive. One translation said it's living and it's active. It's living and it's active. That means if you get the word in you, you get life in you. Come on, somebody say amen. You get the word in you, you get life in you. It's like a power pellet. You know what I'm talking about. Remember Pac-Man? Because the ghosts represent the devil. He's chasing you around. But you get that power pellet, you turn around and start chasing him. Well, you've been running from the devil for too long now. It's time you eat your power pellet and turn around and start chasing him. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Devil running around, you know, like them little ghosts on Pac-Man. Somebody say the word is alive. And it's powerful. What does powerful mean? Reverse the word. It's full of power. Why do we think the word is just some type of ink on onion skin? When we release the word out of our mouth by faith, or we act upon the word, where power is being released. The word is alive and it's full of power. Here we go. And it's what? Sharp. Somebody say sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now this is powerful because you need to write this down here. See, because if you don't learn how to navigate the word good, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get your soul and your spirit mixed up. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your emotion, and your will. Your spirit is the part of you that is all brand new, made in the image and the likeness of God. And see, people who can't discern and distinguish and let the word get in the middle and separate, and make a distinction. People who can't do that, they just boggle everything all together. And now when they soul talk, they think God is talking. That's why they say stuff like, I think the Lord said this to me. Jesus didn't say, you think. Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And a voice of a stranger, the voice of a stranger, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. See, you got to get God's word in you so much that you know how to separate the stranger's voice. You know, when you was a kid, your mom and your daddy, they told you, whether you had a mama or a daddy and you could have been raised with the worst family, they told you, baby, don't talk to. Amen. We got too many believers talking to a stranger. And the reason why we talk to the stranger is because our soul is all messed up. Come on, somebody catch what I'm saying. Our soul is all messed up. Our mind ain't been renewed by the word that is quick and full of power, that is alive. And our mind don't get renewed, amen. And guess what? When our mind don't get renewed, guess what? Nothing in our life changes. We just go about doing the same old little bitty Christian stuff. Amen. We come to church. We hear the pastor. Praise the Lord. Give our tithe. Go outside. Devil, pop, 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 beat us up. We come back to church 3 or 4 weeks later because we've been all beat up. And we hear the pastor. And we give our tithe. And we go back out there and pop, 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 pop. The devil beat us up. Then we come back to church 2 months later. Come on, somebody say amen. But see, you got to get to the place where you are fighting the good fight of faith. Yeah. Every day you wake up, you say, devil, where you at? Devil, where you at? Well, how can you say that kind of thing? Because the Bible says, this book of the law shall you meditate therein day and night. That means at nighttime, I done thought on the word of God, and it's done built my spirit up, and guess what? It's done separated my soul. So now when the devil start talking, I know that that's a stranger over there. I done heard what God said, so when I wake up in the morning, I done meditated on his precepts all night long. So I wake up with faith in my spirit and faith in my heart, and now I can fight the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody say, I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
Amen. My lips was moving, and my mind was talking. Amen. Look at this. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What does that scripture mean? That means that God's word will say, that thought ain't mine. That intention ain't mine. Are you catching this right here? Come on. Amen. That thought don't belong to me. That intention don't belong to me. That's your soul talking. You got to transform your mind. Glory be to God. Now, here we're going somewhere. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are what? And open unto his eyes of him we have to do. 14. Seeing then that we have a what? A great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Greek word, homologio, confession. Somebody say confession. What does hold fast mean? Hold fast mean you lock arms with it. And no matter what you're going through, you say what God says. Now look at verse. Look at this verse right here. It says 15. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. A lot of people read that verse and they don't go to the next one. They don't understand the context of the verse. What is he saying here? He's saying that Jesus was just like you and I. He was tempted just like you and I, but something enabled him to be sinless. You're going to find it in this verse right here. Ready? Verse 16. Read it together. Count of three. 1, 2, 3. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of that we may obtain and find what? To do what? To help. Tell your neighbor, say, Lord, help me. See, amen. Amen. The Lord wants to help us. He wants to help us. I can tell you right now, he wants to help you. He wants to help you. See, this is why we had to deal with condemnation tonight, because if you are operating under the spirit of condemnation, guilt, and shame, it'll cripple your ability to believe that God wants to help you. I'm going to say that again. If you're operating under the spirit of condemnation, guilt, and shame, it'll cripple your belief that God wants to help you. Now, again, back up. Ooh, I'm not giving you the right to go out and do a bunch of garbage. That's not what I'm doing. But you are who you are, and you're going to do who you are. Until you change your thinking, you're going to keep doing stinking things. So it's our job to get you to fall in love with this book, which really is falling in love with Jesus. Amen. He and his word is one and the same. Is that good teaching tonight, y'all? Come on, give the Lord a hand, clap of praise. My God. I just want to give you one more just to really bless you. Just one more just to really bless you. Amen. The Lord is good. See, I be searching my spirit because, you know what I mean? There are times when the Lord tell me, don't take no notes. Just go out there and minister. And I search my spirit and I listen to him. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because, you know, that's called prophetic teaching. You know, when you just come out there and allow the Spirit of God. But you can't even talk about the word if you don't put it in you. Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You got to fill your heart up with God's word. Okay, Lord, there you go. Turn to Romans 12. Amen. Romans 12. We're going to end with this scripture right here. I just want you to be blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Amen. Do you know that there are blessing blockers? Amen. The Bible said that when you walk in the flesh, you cannot inherit the kingdom. A lot of people think that's talking about going to heaven. But inheritance is something you have based upon the death of somebody else. You are the successor. Somebody else died. Jesus died. It's your inheritance now. Jesus said to them, he said, listen here. He said, it's your father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. It's your father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. What does it mean to obtain the kingdom? It means to be what you were created to be. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. You know, we could just say that over again. Let them have. Let them have. And then I had somebody else in the office with me the other day, and I said, well, what does it say? Dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the birds, and all this different thing. Every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But what they forget to say is over all the earth. See, Adam was the God of the universe. You got to catch what I'm saying here. Adam was the God of the galaxies. You got to hear what I'm saying here. I said Adam. I didn't say God. Adam was God's man, made in his image and in his likeness. Adam was the person. I give you my analogy the Spirit of God gave me. You know, I don't know what everybody else think about it, but this is what he showed me. Genesis 2 and 7 says that God took the man that he formed out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed. Somebody said he breathed. Now, we know that breathe, it literally means to be mouth to mouth. God really literally put himself in that body. You got to catch what I'm saying. There ain't no 100,000 spirits. You got to hear what I'm saying. You came out of God. I'm going to say it again. You came out of God. You weren't just some floating around here. And God said, I'm going to save you, floaty, float. That's not what happened. You came out of God. Come on, say, I came out of God. The Bible says that we were found in him before the foundation of the world. We were found in him before the foundation of the world. We came out of God. Say, I came out of God. So here's what God showed me. Genesis 2 and 7. Instead of me looking at the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I seen it like this in my spirit. That God made him a body. And then he stepped in it. You got to catch what I'm saying. You got to catch what I'm saying here. See, you are the physical expression of God. You and I together, we make up the body of Christ. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are the fullness of him. You know what the word fullness mean? It means the completion of him. Study it. The completion of him. So we're not these weak, unable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are part of the body of Jesus. The soma. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Now, I'm not telling you that you are God. I'm not saying that. You'll never be God Almighty. But just like Claude Bevere and Rosa Bevere, through intimacy, we had children. Those children are us, but they're not us. Why are they me? Because they came out of me. They didn't come from no outside resources. Are y'all catching what I'm saying? So just like my kids came out of me, you and I came out of God. But when you keep associating you with this right here, this just your earth suit. This part right here perish, but the real you will. My God. Are you catching this right here? So we are the body of Jesus. We collectively make up the fullness of who he is. We are the full expression of God, the physical appearance and reputation of all that God is. That means, watch this. That means that as the fivefold ministry, read Ephesians chapter 4. And I know I'm going on, but as you read Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says that we may grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. The fullness of the stature of the Son of God. It's talking about you and I being collectively attached to one another. And each joint begins to supply. It's kind of like RJ say on Facebook, the Voltron thing. Somebody know what I'm talking about. We all together make up the body of Christ. Ain't that powerful? That's powerful to me. Anyhow, by it being powerful, what scripture was I going to so I can end? Romans 12. Okay, and then I'll be done. Y'all ready? Last scripture. You ready? This is why this is so powerful. Look at this. Verse 1. I beseech you. Somebody say, I beseech you. The word beseech is a Greek word. It means to run alongside and persuade. Run alongside and persuade. Not run alongside and say, hey, what are you doing? No, it's like I'm grabbing you saying, listen to me. Please listen to me. I'm begging you. Hear what I have to say. He said, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you do what? Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the. Now, I'm going to say this right here and I'm going to close the book. There is no transformation without renewal of the mind. You can be born again, but you will not be transformed but by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Now what happens? When the more you renew your mind, the more you see yourself in Christ. The more you see how to operate and to live by faith. See, I'm telling you, listen here. We're in greater days concerning knowledge, but in days concerning experience, we have to grow. Because when you study Wigglesworth, and you study Amy Simple McPherson, and you study Jack Cole, and you study people like A.A. Allen, these people operated in the tangible power and grace of God. Wigglesworth operated in the power of God so much, and y'all heard me say this before, that he raised 21 people from the dead. 17 of them was documented in history. Smith Wigglesworth. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and we were talking about how that he would not allow any type of other literature in his home but the Word of God. Now, what happened to that man? He would read in 15 to 20 to 30 minute increments. Here's what happened. He would meditate that word. No other information. I'm trying to show you something. Would get in his spirit. He would meditate the word. Nothing else would get in his spirit. No doubt, no fear, no unbelief, no C-SPAN, no CBS. And you hear what I'm saying, Rebecca? None of that stuff would get in his spirit. And this is what happened. That man got to the place where his mind came in agreement with his human spirit. And he began to see himself the way the word says he was. So he'd walk up to a casket and he'd grab a dead person, throw him against the wall. Boom. And say, live. And the body fall. Boom. Most people would have said, did anybody see me? And they run. But he grabbed the body and said, I told you, live. And the body said, boom, hit the ground. Then he grabbed the body again and said, I'm not going to sit again, live. Then whoosh, life came into the body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In order for you to do something like that, you have to be persuaded. This is why we have to teach on faith. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. That all right? Amen. Stand to your feet. You hear? I want to make sure I'm not scaring nobody. Amen.